right into
you. I can go right into my talk. Today, our scripture is from Isaiah 41, 10 through 13. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. All who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. Those who oppose you will be as nothing and perish. Though you search for your enemies, you will not find them. Those who wage war against you will be as nothing at all. For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Well, I didn't look up a joke today. Last time my joke was really corny. But one thing, Anna stole a little bit of my thunder, but I wasn't doing ministry updates. But I was so proud to be able to stand up here and tell you that we provided about 480 books to the children of Welford. She's already mentioned the teacher appreciation bagels. And then we were kind of asked about field day, would we help supply snow cones? And so I was happy to provide half the money for the snow cones. And then I read about Epworth, and my heart just about burst. Now, I don't know how much we sent last year, but that's almost $1,000, guys. And look around at our sweet congregation. Look what a, not a small number, but look what we can do. We can do great things in small numbers. And so now, I'm sorry, but, you know, Mother's Day will come around again. So if you want to go ahead and start putting in that Mother's Day jar, or actually, I think it's in September, there's a Epworth Founders Day, and they often take up offering for that as well. And Anna talking about the nets, we've used some money from our children's fund, and it'll be good to get it replenished. Now, you do what you want to and how you're led, but every time I go to the grocery store, or at least my once-a-week big grocery buy, I always get $10 extra, and I ask for them in ones so I can dole them out into the little net. So y'all be careful. Bailey might be carrying two next week. So anyway, and the other thing I was going to tell you is y'all must not have gotten the memo that Preacher Tim wasn't going to be here, because you're here, and he's not even talking. So I'll apologize that you get to have to hear me today, but let's move on. I read a devotional by a lady named Ashley Hocker, and I want to give credit to her for my talk today. She was talking about the powerful promises of Jesus in his I will statements. You know, the last 8 to 10 weeks, Tim has been having our Sunday school class, and he's been talking about the I am statements in Scripture. They're powerful and share much about the character of Christ. They share God's will for his son and for our lives. Well, along with those powerful statements are the I will statements of Jesus. Now, there's I will statements everywhere. There were some even in the Old Testament. And in Sunday school, we talked about how, or Anna and I talked about how, even though I used an Old Testament scripture, that was prophecy to what was going to be coming. And so, and in the scripture you did hear at the very end, says, do not fear, I will help you. So I want to share with you six of the I will statements in the New Testament. There are over 30, according to Ms. Hocker here. But first of all, she suggested maybe we talk about what a promise is. And this is where I get to give you a definition. You know, preachers do that sometimes, or speakers do that sometimes. And we all know what a promise is. It's a declaration or an assurance that one will do a particular thing. If you make a promise, you're going to help someone, you're going to do something for someone, you're going to be there at a certain time. But have you ever had anyone promise you something and not follow through? I see lots of heads shaking. Big or small, when someone breaks a promise, we have lots of emotions going through our heart and our mind. Sometimes we might feel angry. We might feel disappointed when someone makes a promise and then breaks it. Promises can be hard work. You know, sometimes you make a promise, if, especially if it's a good ways away. Will you help me in July? And then July gets here and you're like, oh, but I'm going to be on vacation. Or I plan to go to the park, the water park. So sometimes you have to rearrange your schedule or say no to something that arises at the last minute. The message of a promise is an affirmation of love, respect, friendship, and human connection. And it says, someone cares about me. Since the beginning of time, people have been making promises. Promises hold value and importance in a society. When you break them, others don't seem to like it very much. And I thought of one time that I remembered a promise kind of being broken. It was a promise and it was broken, but there was a bank in Duncan that used to have an art show in the spring out in their yard, and out on, there used to be a little ball field over there. And there was just whoever wants to go from Welford can go. We'll provide a bus. Well, of course, I wanted to take my first graders because I wanted to see the art show. But anyway, while we were there, I saw a lady that I knew, and she is known for making soap. Well, it really freaked her out. She really didn't know about first graders because they wanted to touch everything. They touched her soap and it messed up her display, and she was just going behind them. Well, anyway, I said, boys and girls, we're not supposed to touch. Just look. And so I asked her, I said, in May, we have a community helpers day, a job day fair. Would you come and talk to our first graders about making soap? And then I was going to ask her if there was a way she could make it in, you know, the little ice cube tray so they could all get a tiny little piece. And she said, yeah, I'd love to do that. Well, I don't know when that was. That ought to have been March or April. So anyway, later on, I called her and asked her how I could help her set up. And she said, I don't know what you're talking about. I already have something planned that day. I won't be there. I was devastated. It's kind of like when you pop a balloon with a pin and it goes whoosh. That was what happened to me. And now she wasn't coming, so we had an open block and we weren't going to learn about soap making. And the other first grade teachers, I had to tell them because we were kind of each responsible for getting someone to come speak. So a promise is an important thing. And when Jesus promises, he says, I will. And as we know, Jesus never, never, ever breaks his promises. Let's first talk about the promise of salvation. In John 6:37, we hear these words, all those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. And then again in Revelation 3:20, we hear, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him, and he with me. In both of these verses, Jesus is letting his children, us, know that if we come to him, he will never drive us away. Not just us in the church. He won't drive anyone away if they will just go to him. In Revelation, Christ is speaking to the church of Laodicea and promises that anyone who hears his voice and opens the door will receive him and eat with him. These verses share the promise of salvation. Christ is saying to us that he will take us in. He will care for us. He will give us new life and save us from an eternity in hell. When we are in the hands of God, we cannot be thrown out. When we accept the gift of salvation, we can never lose it. We might backslide a little bit because I thought about that, but we can never lose that gift of salvation. Now let's think about the I will statement of usability. I thought that was an unusual term, usability, but being used. Have you ever heard people in the church or anywhere say that, I can't do that, I'm too old, or I'm just not smart enough to do that? When Christ calls you to something, he already knows your strengths and your weaknesses and your age. He knows what you are capable of doing. We often are hard on ourselves and prevent the full blessings of God from being revealed. Have you ever thought, I can't do that? I can't be a helper? Have you ever caught yourself saying, I can't do this. I am not good enough. I know many, many years ago, I mean, I'm not going to tell you how many years ago, but many, many years ago, my children were asking me about going to Emmaus on the Emmaus walk, and I kept saying, oh, I can't do that. I'm not good enough to do that. I don't know enough about the Bible. When in fact, you don't really need to know about the Bible. You don't even have to take a Bible if you don't want to. There'll be plenty of scripture supplied for you there. But I just kept telling them, no, 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 I can't. Jesus says, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men in Matthew 4:19. He does not say, follow me and I will find you something to do. Christ is surely promising that if we just follow him, he will do the work for you and me. He will transform us into disciples who are usable. While we may feel inadequate, remember that our Lord has promised to make us fishers of men. He will lead the charge in us. All we need to do is follow. And this made me think about Epworth. I said, I don't know what we could go down there to do. Do you remember me saying that just the other week? Now, I know if we had, Darla had another great big landscaping day, oh, I'd be worried. Last landscaping day, I struggled. I had one little section of one of these windows done, and there were some young people, and they had the rest of the section done. And then we got over here, and I'm like, worn out. I can't do this anymore. So I'm thinking, we can't go down there and do landscaping. And then I'm thinking, well, I could paint, not by myself, and not anything really, really big. I don't know. Maybe I could decorate a room or something. So I got to thinking, if we will remember what Jesus says, come and follow me, and I will help you become fishers of men. Or just come and follow me. Maybe there is something at Epworth we as a group could do. Let's think about the I will statements for guidance. You know, as Christians, we all get a little bit distracted and lost. I get a lot distracted. My baby daughter, Abby, says, Mom, and I don't know if it's left brain or right brain. Is it right brain, Anna? The one where you're all distracted and supposedly artsy and you don't. Yeah, she said, you should be walking to the right all the time because I get so distracted in everything I do. We're not free from making the wrong decisions. And because of this, we need guidance. And who better to give us guidance than the Son of God? I remember when I became a teacher, and some of you heard this before. I walked down, they took me down. Now, this was before school started. They walked me down, and I stood right in the doorway of that classroom. There was nothing in it but a few tables and some chairs. And with tears streaming down my cheeks, now, let's go back. I'd learned a lot about reading. I'd learned a lot about math. I studied all of this. These prodigies in child psychology, and I've learned all about the behavior and stuff. But when I looked in that room, what am I supposed to do? How is this going to work? And then I found out there were no books, there were no workbooks, there was no teacher guide at that time, because that was a long time ago. There was nothing. And the tears. And after about 2 or 3 weeks of school, and I told y'all I think in Sunday school, I found out that teachers should be able to sing and draw. And guess what I can't do? I can't sing or draw. I needed lots of guidance. That first year was a little tough. Thank goodness I had a good assistant, and I made it. And then I learned how I could do it. And do you remember becoming a mom for the first time? Come home, and oh, it's just wonderful. Baby's beautiful, so sweet. And about that third night, baby cries all night, or baby doesn't sleep at all. And then one thing runs into another thing, and you're like, I don't know how to do this. And now I'm retired, and I often just get up whenever I want to. You know, I don't set my alarm unless I have an appointment. I could be up at 7, but probably not. 8, maybe. 9, I try to be up by 9. I won't tell you how late I've slept sometimes. But all these days, I think, what am I going to do today? And I've had people tell me, just make you a list before you go to bed and put that list on your counter. And when you get up, do those things on your list. Well, I'm not good at lists because I tend to lose lists. So anyway, I need guidance in what I'm going to do every day. Now, someone's helped me. Next 2 weeks, I'm working. So that's all I'm able to do. In the parable about the wise and foolish builders, Jesus begins his teaching by stating, I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and put them into practice. That's from Luke 6:47. I will show you what he is like who comes to you and hears my words and puts them into practice. Here we find Jesus promising the guidance to understand the truth. He will give us guidance to make the right decisions in our lives, and he will help us understand his will. Guidance for our lives comes from being close to Jesus. He longs to know us intimately. When we have a close relationship with our Savior, he reveals his will for us, and we can see his guidance. And hopefully, we will make decisions and take directions that glorify our Lord. Let's think now about the I will statement for rest and renewal. We all desire rest and renewal from time to time, some more than ours. And I laugh because that's me. I'm good at resting. How about worn out? That was me on Friday after field day. 2.5 hours I was outside playing games with second graders. I was worn out. The Christian life is full of blessings, but it is not easy. In Matthew 11:12, we read, come to me who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I don't know if I was burdened, but I was worn out. One of the greatest promises we can receive on earth is one that says you will never be alone. Now that actually goes with what we're studying in Sunday school. We will never be alone. Loneliness is not a fun place to be, but Christ promises us we won't ever be alone. When we are tired, we can rest in him. When we feel like we can't go on, he reassures us. When our walk with Christ seems blah, we can be renewed and he can put us on fire again. Made me think about back in spring break, I had a lot of my family with me all week, and that was fine. I love my family to be at my house and all that they can, and we just had the best time, and we had, not the adults, children, fusses and fights and fun time playing, and we had kids in the door and out the door and all around, and it was kind of wild and crazy. And then everybody left, and Anna said, Mommy, you can get some rest. So I kind of laid on my sofa, lounged on my sofa, and I stayed there for a little while, and all of a sudden I'm like, it's just so quiet. I feel all alone. But we are never alone, not without Jesus. He's always there with us. And we're going to talk about the I will statement for the Holy Spirit. We find the promise of the Holy Spirit in John 14:16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. We know who God's helper is. God's helper is Jesus. Jesus is speaking to his disciples here, and he's speaking why he must go away, and he's telling them that even though he will be gone physically, they will not be alone. The Holy Spirit will come and be a counselor for them. Sometimes when I do Kingdom Kids, we get to talking, and somehow the Holy Spirit might come up, and when I'm saying, what does that mean? How do you have the Holy Spirit? Well, you know, it's just that feeling in your heart that just bubbles up, and you just feel happy. I think it's so awesome that Bailey and Anna, when it gets nighttime, and maybe Brandon's at work, and she's taking a bath, and she'll put on some religious songs, some elevation music, some of that popular kind of stuff. And they just listen to it. In the car, they listen to that music. And they definitely feel not alone. Today we receive the Holy Spirit as the moment we accept Christ into our hearts. This Spirit will convict us of sin. It will guide us at the time we have to make an important decision in life. The Holy Spirit comforts. It gives us understanding. It gives us inspiration and it empowers us. Christ did not return to the Father and leave us as orphans in the dark. He returned to the Father and gave us the Holy Spirit so we may continue the work of building the kingdom of God. I feel the Holy Spirit every time Phyllis and Michael play. It just sets the tone for a wonderful worship moment. For whoever, Amanda, thank you for singing today, but when we have somebody up here singing, I can't sing, but I love music and it just fills my heart. I get this Holy Spirit feeling. Our last will, our will statement, talks about eternity in heaven. Most people walk through their earthly life preparing for their futures, like people invest money so they'll be ready to retire comfortably. Parents write wills so that children are taken care of when they're gone. We even make weekly plans and we make lists for the next day's activities. All this planning is good, but we have a much greater plan and promise from God. And in John 14:3, we hear these words, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." Jesus said, "I will come back." We have that promise. He's preparing a place for us in heaven. And when he is ready, we will be with him in that place. Our futures are settled. We will see Jesus again and spend eternity worshiping him. We should have peace, knowing we have a home being prepared by Christ and that he will come for us. One time, when we were having Sunday school, I was telling them that I had a friend in high school. He was a young black man, and he had a terrific singing voice. And he was known for singing, "Lord, just build me a cabin in the corner of glory land." In fact, I've thought, when I need a funeral, I might need that song. But Ron just chuckled. He said, "Honey, you're not going to have a cabin in the corner of glory land. You're going to have a mansion on the streets of gold." I'm sure you know or have heard this song. If I could sing, I'd sing for you, but I can't sing. "What a Day That Will Be." I've had this song kind of in my mind for a week or so, and it touches my heart every time. And since I'm in my car alone, I can just belt out and sing all I want to. But the first little verse goes this way, or maybe it's the chorus. "What a day that will be when my Jesus I will see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace." And this is the line that gets me every time. "When he takes me by the hand," can you just feel Jesus' hand? "When he takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land, what a day, glorious day, that will be." When I think about Jesus coming and grabbing my hand and taking me on, I should be willing to do anything for him. Amen. Anything for him, no matter how big or how small, because he's going to come back. He's going to touch my hand, and he's going to take me to glory land as long as I fulfill what I need to fulfill in order to go to glory land. I have learned that Christ was just not making general promises to us. He was making himself known and declaring that when we follow Christ, we will never be alone. We will always have his love and guidance. He can and he desires to use us and give us rest when we need it. We, friends, are promised the full blessings of God because Jesus said, "I will."